There's a story that I often tell because I think it really expresses what really motivates me and what my passion in life is and what my heart is. And so forgive me if for a few of you have heard this story before, forgive me for telling it again, but it's one that took place a few years ago. Just outside the backyard of the house that we lived at in Indonesia, there was a graveyard where all the village babies and children were buried. And for the size of our village, for how small our village was, this was a pretty big graveyard. There were a significant number of graves there. And one afternoon, several years ago, as my wife and my youngest daughter, Katie, she was probably about six at the time, were walking home from swimming at the beach with the village kids, as Katie often liked to do. The path home from the beach to the house takes you right past, well, basically through this graveyard. And that particular day, as they were walking past the graveyard, Katie turned to Eleanor and said, all of our neighbors are Muslims, aren't they? Yes, they are, replied Eleanor, to which Katie, while sadly looking at the grave, said, so that means that these children's mommies will never see them again. Who's going to tell these grieving mommies how to be reunited with their babies? How about the daddies, the brothers, and the sisters? Friends, this morning, that is the burning in my bones. That is the fire in my belly. Who's going to tell these people and millions more about Jesus? It's such a privilege and an honor for me to be here with you this morning. I love going to church. I love being with fellow believers on a Sunday morning. It's so different from meeting in a living room with one other family. It's just so great to be together with believers. 2 years later, I'm still just so grateful every Sunday morning. Such a joy and a blessing to spend time with your leadership last evening. It was a wonderful time. Had great fellowship. And I'm just so grateful to be here with my wife, Eleanor. We've been married for 16 and a half years. And our three children, Dustin is 14, Allison is 13, and Katie is 10. As we look at this morning and all what all we want to cover, and it's during this first session here, the Sunday school time, I'll be giving you a brief, very brief version of our life story. And as Layton said, I'll be going over where we are at in the process of with the ADC Mission Board and also the latest focus of ADC in response to some requests and needs that we sense. And then, as he said, for the sermon, I'll be preaching about God's heart for missions, showing you from Scripture that God is missional, but even more than that, I believe that God is missionary, and preaching about the great need that still remains. And because of the vastness of these subjects, I'll only be able to give you a brief overview of them. There's so much to learn. There's so much that we could flesh out, so many details to get into. But the one thing that I want you to remember this morning, if you forget everything else, the one thing that I want you to remember is that God is missionary. And unless that truly and really sinks into our hearts to the point where it spurs us to action, the rest of the information this morning really is not that useful. Before I begin, I'd like to give some credit to the resources I use. I love Jeff Lewis's book on God's Heart for Missions. Michael Baer has a great book, Business as Missions. Seth Fuhr, The Cross, Dick Brodkin, they put out great teaching, and there's many more. And I also want you to know this morning that I have fasted and I have prayed for this morning. I've prayed that this morning would touch our hearts, that would give us a new understanding of who God is, His heart, and the work that's still to be done. And I have prayed for those of us who are in ministry, local outreach, and missions. I've prayed that whatever our ministry looks like, that we would be encouraged this morning, and that God would really speak to us, renew our energy and our zeal for the work. And where I pray that where this has been lacking, that God would really kindle the flame of intense interest. I need to make one caveat this morning as well before I begin. What I've been called to speak about is my absolute passion in life. It's what I live for. It's my life's mission. And do not for a second hear me saying that whatever ministry you're involved in is less than. I would never want to implicate that. And please hear me. Continue in your ministry. And I pray that as you continue in your ministry that it would expand and grow and reach out to those who have not yet heard. One of the reasons for telling my story this morning, one of the goals is that by giving a brief version of our story, I just pray that you would leave this place, and as you leave this place, you would be able to say, well, if Tim, who grew up with an eighth grade education on a dairy farm in southern Ontario, could go across the world, then I for sure can go anywhere. If he could do it, you can definitely do it. So, well, there's many different ways of doing missions. The story, Eleanor and I, we went with the sole purpose of church planting and doing that through business. And so this is just our story. There's many ways to do missions, but this is our story. Romans 15:20. And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. As Eleanor and I set our sights on going to Indonesia and made our plans to move, we claimed this as our life verse. This was our goal. If we were going to do this thing, we were going to do it for real. And we were hoping to go to a place, we were hoping God would lead us to a place where there had never been missionaries before and where there were no known believers. In the past few years, before we went, we had been studying about missions, and we'd been learning about unreached people groups, what they were and how many there still were, how many missionaries that go to mission fields go to serve other missionaries or Christians, and how few get to the front lines actually, and how few funds of the monies that we send to missions get to the front lines, get to those who have no chance to hear. And so we set out with this goal. And I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But I want you to know, it had not always been that way for me. In fact, it had never been my dream growing up to go into missions. I don't recall being taught much about it. It for sure was not something that I was going to do. What I was going to do, so I grew up in Canada, southern Ontario, on a dairy farm, and as far as I knew, I was going to grow up, I was going to get a job, hopefully own a business, I was going to buy a house, it's going to be a really nice house, I was going to get married and be a faithful member in the church that my parents are members in. I was going to have children, provide for them well, and hopefully they would grow up and be faithful members in the church that I was a member in. And I would store up my money, I would retire early, I would live my retirement out in ease, and I would die with my loyal, happy family surrounding me. I cannot now fathom how small those dreams are and how bleak of a picture that paints for me. That all changed when I was about 21 years old. Out of the blue, AMA called and wondered if I would go to Paraguay to teach for 2 years. I had been kind of restless at that point and was looking for something different in life, and I didn't even know where Paraguay was. I had to look it up on a map. I didn't know a soul there, but I was ready for a change in life, and I was like, well, who can't survive 2 years anyway, right? And so I went, and in my 2 years there, that's where God really started working in my heart. He really got a hold of me there during that time, and I knew that someday I would go into missions, and I would probably go into missions for long term. That's also where I met Eleanor. She was born and raised, lived in Paraguay until she was 14, and her family moved back to Ohio. But she was back down teaching in the same school, and we overlapped a year, and that's where we met. And as we started dating, as we got into the relationship, I told Eleanor that I feel like I'll be called into long-term missions at some point, and so if we're going to get married, that's what you're getting into. She couldn't resist, so that's, you know. Very soon after my time of service was over, I moved to Ohio. We got married. I got into business. Business had been my passion. It was my life. I started several businesses. I was working there. Life was going well. Probably 7 or 8 years after we were married, we began to get bored. Or was it God nudging us? We began to question there has to be more in life than this. Life's going well, we're making money, but where's the fulfillment? Surely this is not all we were called to do with our lives. And it was at that time when United Bethel, a church there in Plain City, put on the Perspectives course, and I'm telling you this morning, that Perspectives course changed our lives forever. As we went through that course, starting in Genesis, all through the Bible, and up through history to present day, studying about missions, as we learned about God's heart for missions all throughout Scripture, as we learned about the history of missions and the tremendous need still out there and the huge task that still remains, it was as if we were drinking from a fire hose. Our eyes were opened, And we could never unsee what we now saw. We could never unknow what we now knew. And so it was that perspectives course that really gave us the direction and the boost to get started down the path of missions. And through seeking God's face and research into many countries, we ended up in Indonesia. We went with Pioneers for our sending agency. I got my GED, did the required seminary to go under there. With Pioneers, we did the mandatory training. And so we went. When we went to Indonesia, we went to one of the major trade cities in Indonesia to begin with. As university students, Eleanor and I were there for the first 18 months, learning language and culture. And from there, we did survey trips to see where God would have us serve long term. And God led us to a very remote island. It was a 16-hour boat ride from the nearest city. There were about three or four boats a week. There were no flights in or out. And so a 16-hour boat ride, three or four boats a week when you were there, you truly were there. We were the first white people to live on this island, and so you can just imagine the we caused quite a stir. Three cute little kids and two white adults. The Sula people group is a population of around 88,000 people. Their claimed religion is Islam. However, they are very animistic. It's really animism that guides their day-to-day lives. And this was our home, living in a village there on that island until we moved back to Ohio. God really used that perspectives course to get us started on the path of going overseas. And one thing that we learned about during that perspectives course that really resonated with me was business. One session, the speaker really focused on business as missions, and it clicked for me. My life had been business. I love business. And when I, that evening, it just really hit me how this passion could be used in missions. I had never really seen that before, and that was so inspiring to me, and I was sold out on business as missions, and I'm telling you today, I'm even more sold out on this than ever before. I'm more convinced on it. Once we had settled on where, and so back to Indonesia, once we had settled on where we were going to live, this island, we did some survey trips, and as we listened to the people there, we learned that cocoa was a big crop, but it used to be a huge crop and in the past, but it had been, for the last number of years, because of the lack of care for the crops, disease had come through and wiped out the majority of it. The prices had been so low for the last two decades or so before we moved there because of the corrupt dealings of the buyers from the large companies. When people left there was many cocoa orchards in disrepair, acres of these trees in disrepair because it wasn't worth taking care of. And so in seeing all this, and one of our teammates who joined with another family joined with us when we decided to go to this island, and the Pete was an agriculturalist, and so in looking at this, we decided to start a chocolate business in which we would do everything from training farmers on how to manage disease and improve crop production to buying the raw beans directly from the farmers at a fair market price, processing the beans and sending an edible product off the island. And so we moved to this island with a registered chocolate business, not having made a pound of chocolate in our lives. And this is where God led us to serve. In this country where you can't go in as missionaries, you're not allowed to proselytize. How do you even go about it? It was business that got us access to the country. We came in as businessmen. It was business that got us access to the island. It was business that got us access to these remote communities. But how do you really get into these communities to where you can build relationships with them, to where they trust you? Well, let's look at it for a minute. We went in to help with disease management for the cocoa trees and to help them improve their yield. And so you go around the village. We let them know that we would be willing to come help them improve their orchards. We'd be able to do some training. And so there's villages all around the island, and you go around to these villages that ask you to come help them. You go spend the day with them. They're farmers, they're fishermen, and so they're comfortable with you out in the field. You spend it's a very relational culture. You go there, spend the day with them. You do some work. You teach them how to prune their trees. You get them started, and then you need to go back the next month to see how the crops are doing, and you go back again. Then you need to go see how next year's crop is coming along, and then you go buy the crop, and it's just a cycle that keeps repeating. It just gives you a reason to keep going back and building relationships with these people where they're most comfortable. You're hanging out in the fields with them. And we also had a factory with a number of employees. By the time we left, We had 23 employees. That was 23 disciples that we spend everyday life with, modeling the Christian life, modeling godly lives, and getting into all kinds of conversations. And before long, you're so much more than their employer. As they learn to trust you, soon they begin to come to you with their personal problems, with their family issues, their marriage problems. They come to you for advice, and you just become so deeply involved in their lives, and not only that, into the lives of their families and the villages they're from. We had our employees from about 5 or 6 different villages around the island there. And then you have the authorities. There's tons of reporting to do. Every month you're going in reporting to these authorities, and you're showing them what honest business is like, your dedication to upholding their rules and regulations, and they're looking at you wondering, and they're asking you, why are you doing this? Everyone else is trying to see what they can get away with. Why are you so dedicated to upholding these rules and regulations? And then you have your clients. They come once or twice to buy chocolate. It's so fantastic, they just keep coming back. No, they come once and you get into conversations, and then they come back just to hang out and to chat. And besides that, there's the many, many people that you help out financially as well. 23 families had a good stable income. Many, many farmers around the island could now sell their cocoa beans to us at a great price and have great income through that. So our business just gave us natural ways to keep meeting more and more people, natural ways to keep going back and forming deep relationships with where they had begun, and while also creating value for these people. As I said before, I'm just sold on business as missions, and I could just keep talking about that all morning. Our mandate is, though, this morning to speak about ADC missions as well. So, for Eleanor and I, missions and unreached people groups are constantly on our minds. It's constantly on my mind. It's my passion. It's my goal. It is our goal to go again at some point. When we left, we sold our house, we sold our vehicles, we sold most of our belongings, and we had gone to Indonesia we went indefinitely. We thought this was what we were going to do with our lives. And then 2 years ago, when our family was brought back from Indonesia, through several circumstances culminating in the sickness of Eleanor that took about 18 months to recover, we couldn't make sense of it. We were crushed. What had been our hopes and dreams, what we had felt God was calling to us to for life, was gone. Coming home to the U.S. after only 5.5 years seemed much too soon for us. But I think that's why I'm extra grateful this morning for the opportunity to serve on the ADC Mission Board and to pour myself into what is truly my passion for life. And so it's been a privilege and a joy for me for now the last year to serve on the ADC Mission Board. It's been a blessing to serve alongside Gene Beachy, who is here this morning, Kim Eichhorn, and Judge Schrock. It's just been such a privilege to work alongside them. And at the risk of repeating myself, we'll get into this more in depth in the sermon, but I am fully persuaded that missions is at the core that runs through the that missions is a core theme that runs through the Bible from Genesis through Revelations. God is missionary. It's who he is. All through Scripture you see that God is all about making his name great and having his glory spread across the earth. If this is such a central theme in all of Scripture, and if this is who God is at his core, then it is crucial for the vitality of our churches to be fully invested, involved, and active in missions, in outreach, in local ministry. And that is why I'm so humbled and grateful to be an active part of this. There's so much that we are to do if we are to live out God's command to go to all nations. It's amazing to me that God has set it up to go to reach the nations, to reach all tribes, languages, and tongues through the method of using the church. He could have accomplished it in so many different ways, you would think, but he chose the method to be his followers. And the crushing thing for me is that after several thousand years, this task is still far from complete. But the exciting thing is that now it is our turn to take this on. God did not ordain for us to be born in the United States, to have innumerable blessings, incredible wealth, and every opportunity that we could ask for. He did not draw us to Himself and allow us to be part of such great churches, to just sit here and bask in the wealth and privilege that we have and to live lives of ease. I believe to do so may even be to mock God. We have the privilege and the opportunity to join God in His work. This is not some boring, mundane task. This is an incredible privilege. This is an exciting work. And this morning, what fills my heart with hope and excitement to the very core is as I look over this group this morning, and as I look at ADC as a whole, we are so well suited for this. We are so made for this. The people that our group is made up of, the people that ADC is made up of, the heart and vision of ADC as a whole, how we apply Scripture to our lifestyle, we are made for this. I cannot think of a better group of churches to do missions than the ADC churches. As our committee was formed last year and we began to look at this, at our charter from the ADC alongside the planning committee, our charter was to come up with or create mission opportunities for our churches, to create sending cultures in our churches. We realized that it was probably of utmost importance that we create some core foundational documents. And in realizing how important these documents would be and wanting to make sure that we remain closely aligned to the ADC values, we enlisted the help of a facilitator, and we brought in the planning committee to help to work with us through these. And after a lot of work and long meetings, we came up with the core documents, the core values, the mission, vision, and purpose statement that I really feel like express what our heart is and where we feel God is calling us to go. The vision statement for the ADC mission is the vision statement. The what statement is our vision is that every ADC church have a vibrant mission focus and sending culture with the goal of planting churches around the world in urban areas and unreached people groups. The vision statement, our mission is to partner with ADC churches to enhance mission awareness, create a sending culture, and equip believers to plant churches around the world. And the purpose statement, the why we do this, is to call our people in every generation to make disciples of all nations, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through lives transformed by Jesus. The big picture that we have for the ADC churches, our heart for the ADC churches, is that every ADC church would have a vibrant mission focus with a goal of planting churches around the world, and we hope to accomplish that. And how we hope to accomplish that, our vision is that we would do so by partnering with the ADC churches to enhance mission awareness create ascending culture, as I said before. And one of the first focuses we have is that we would love to create a platform where we can share opportunities, where we can share ideas on where we can go to serve, what different churches are involved in, what missions they're involved in. I believe that the more the more sharing and interaction our churches have with each other, the more ideas will be birthed, improved on, and hopefully put into action. And along with that, we would hope to create a platform for sharing what could be used as sharing opportunities to serve, where youth can go on work weeks, where you can go for 1 or 2 years of service, and also hopefully be a great credible resource for places like that, for churches that are asking for opportunities for high schools, for youth groups, and church work groups. And I would say that one of our biggest challenges has been how do we connect with the churches and how do we connect the churches. And so we're looking for ways that we can connect with and partner with all the ADC churches in an effort to work together. Urban outreach is another huge focus. It's something that we sense a lot of people are interested in the ADC churches, and it's something that we're looking at. We're trying to figure out how we can come alongside the churches that are sending and support them. We have people doing this already, but we have people doing it in kind of isolated situations, it feels like. So we'd love to be able to connect the people going. We'd love to be a resource for the people going. We'd love to be a resource for the churches sending them. And so that's a focus on how can we come alongside the churches sending and how can we come alongside the people going. Another major area that we're looking at is and that we hope to accomplish and that we really need if we're going to be successful in missions is equipping and training those going. So training and equipping and supporting those at ADC Sends is one of our highest priorities. From our observations, it's probably one of the weaker areas of the conservative Anabaptist circles, and we would like to completely change that, and so that is a major area of focus. So how does training and creating opportunities look? What does that look like? So the first thing we'd like to do is we need a place where we can send people to get solid biblical training. ADC Missions is primarily a church planting organization. That is our focus. That's what we hope to do. And so these people that are going will be starting, will be planting churches that will hopefully be self-sustaining, reproducing churches. And where do we get the training for that? And how do you become, where do you get the knowledge, the solid biblical foundation that you need to be doing that? The second focus would be a nearby easy access country that we could set up a training facility. It's important for us that this be in another culture, that high school groups, youth groups, church groups can go for a week. They can maybe think about maybe doing something, some work in the community, humanitarian aid in the morning, you do some training in the afternoons and evenings. And it would just really be an introduction to cross-cultural living. The third area of focus would be more of a mid-level, longer-term place to serve where you could go for a year or two, where think something like maybe like Greece, where you would have practical ministry to do. You could even be involved in church planting, and while you're there, there could be mentoring and training in your time there. And then also, of course, the unreached people group. That is really our passion as well. The millions and millions of people who are being born who will never meet a believer, who will die without ever meeting a believer. And so to kind of summarize that, our focus is to connect the ADC churches and provide a platform and opportunities for sharing ideas. Our focus is to partner with our churches to promote a mission focus and ascending culture in every ADC church. We place a huge emphasis on urban church planting. We're committed to come alongside the people going and the churches sending them. We're focused on and seeking an opportunity to start a facility in a near, easy access country. We would like to also start a facility in more of a longer-term serving place, think something like Greece in that. And finally, our heart is also for the unreached people group. And so in talking about the training part of this, the thing that just makes me extremely excited is the newest development at ADC. As I said earlier, probably one of the areas that the conservative Anabaptists may be the weakest in is the training and equipping of our missionaries, and not only our missionaries, but also our leaders and our pastors. And also maybe comprehensive biblical training for youth, like studies for youth, or just anyone that wants it. And so at this past ADC assembly, the need for the Biblical Studies and Training School Center was presented, and it was approved. A task force has been established to head this up. It consists of Mark Miller from Holmes County there, sitting in as a representative of the Planning Committee. I sit on that task force as a representative from the Missions Committee. Paul A. Miller is on. His passion is really developing and mentoring and training pastors. And then Dean Taylor is on for the educational part of it. And we are currently actively looking for two more men to join this task force. Hopefully people that would be really interested in education. And you're probably wondering, well, what does this look like? What are we thinking? Well, we don't really know yet. We're just at the very beginning, but I know that we're dreaming of teaching like introduction to biblical Greek, which would include a trip to Greece at the end of that semester, introduction to biblical Hebrew, which would hopefully include a trip to Jerusalem, to Israel, missiology, an all-encompassing course, teaching about missions, pastoral studies, Old Testament, New Testament surveys, historical theology, Anabaptist history and worldviews, just to name a few. We have dreams, we have big dreams, and we feel that God is really opening doors, and we're excited to walk through these doors. We dream of this being a place for the youth, missionaries, pastors, anyone who wants to just come, get a good solid foundation. We pray that this would be more than education, but that this would be a great place of discipleship, learning, mentoring, and equipping. And so we don't have many facts, but we do have dreams and we do have plans and we are seeking God's face and we are excited at how God seems to be opening doors. So back to the missions. our focus, as I said, is church planting. We are a church planting organization. We need people committed to going indefinitely. We'd be looking for, as I call them, lifers to plant churches. It takes years of discipleship and constant living among. This does not happen overnight. And so it really is our heart to send out well-equipped people to go serve long-term. We will provide, we hope to provide great, solid, short-term opportunities as well. And through the mentoring and training of those programs, we would hope that we would find people committed to going long-term. And we are also heavily focused, as you may have caught on, we're heavily focused on businesses' missions as well. Whether in the U.S. or in any country, it really is the businessman, it really is the employee, it really is the professional, it really is the people in the workforce who have the best access to the community and the people around you. And let's face it, the unreached people groups that are left are in the hardest to reach places. It takes creativity to get there. And so again, that is why I am just so super excited. When I look out across this church, when I look across the ADC group, how many businessmen do we have? We are so gifted. We are such a gifted people. I truly believe that we are made for this. I believe that ADC is made for this moment. We have the skills, we have the culture, we have the means, we have the wealth, and in general, our people, we can thrive and live successful lives wherever we end up in the world. We are made for this. Michael Baer, in his mission, in his book, Business as Mission, says, I truly believe we are on the edge of a huge movement of God to mobilize true professionals, and I would add businessmen, to engage the hard-to-reach areas. The hard-to-engage areas are worldwide. They are urban settings in the U.S., and they are in the hard-to-access, almost closed countries in the 1040 window. And I know that we as individual churches in the ADC group, I know that we are involved in ministry and missions, and that is fantastic. And I would never presume to take that from you or even to distract you from that. We want you to continue in that, and if we can come alongside you in any way, we would love to do that. But then if we add to those missions and ministries that you are involved in, each church is involved in individually, and we combine our efforts, imagine what we could accomplish. We are made for this. I truly believe it. ADC, with our beliefs and practices, we are set up for the work. We are set up to go to other cultures and lead them to Christ and allow them to apply Jesus' teachings to their lives in a way that is appropriate for them. And for what purpose? To what purpose do we do this? To call every people, to call our people in every generation to make disciples of all nations, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through lives transformed by Jesus.